It's Tuesday, November 5th, AD 2019. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by Kevin Swanson and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. An elderly Christian man was brutally attacked by a man pretending to be a woman on a New York subway. While the elderly man was singing gospel songs and reading portions of scripture, the attacker grabbed his Bible and hit him on the head with a high-heeled shoe. The aftermath of the attack was captured on video and posted on Instagram. Fox 5 New York reported that the 79-year-old Christian required 30 stitches after the vicious attack.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Stand up, you're under arrest.
I can't stand up, I'm in a wheelchair. I'm not moving, so I'm praying.
That's all I've done. I haven't done anything wrong other than pray, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy.
That's the voice of Christian Hacking, a handicapped British man in a wheelchair who was arrested for praying to God on a sidewalk outside of an abortion mill in the UK. You can watch the video and our transcript today at theworldview.com. Thanks be to God. The case has since been dismissed, reports the UK Telegraph. The Crown Prosecution Service sent him a letter noting that there was not enough evidence to provide a realistic prospect of conviction. The Kentucky Supreme Court has ruled in favor of a Christian print shop that refused to print T-shirts that would have glorified homosexuality. While the county's Human Rights Homosexual Commission sustained the complaint against Blame Adamson, owner of Hands On Originals print shop in Lexington, Kentucky, the courts have taken the side of Adamson on several appeals. Younger generations have far less mental stamina compared to the general population by threefold, according to a study by Mindshare Partners completed on mental health in the workplace. 50% of millennials and three-quarters of Gen Zers have left a job for mental health concerns. Interestingly, only 6% of baby boomers were conceived out of wedlock, whereas 40% of Gen Zers were born illegitimately. And only 0.01% of baby boomer kids were aborted in the early 1960s, while 25% of Gen Zers were killed in their mother's wombs. Gen Z kids were taking 120 million grams of Adderall and Ritalin by 2017, up from 2 million grams taken by the Gen X kids in the 1980s. That's a 60-fold increase, reports the Drug Inquirer. Teens spend 7 hours and 22 minutes a day on average on screen time, and that does not include homework or school-involved activities, reports Common Sense Media. In the last 4 years, regular TV watching has decreased by 50%, replaced by personal electronic devices. 86% of their screen time is taken up with TV, gaming, browsing websites, and social media. Protests on the streets of Chile have left 20 dead and thousands wounded over the last 2 weeks. Protesters are calling for free college education and more government subsidies for retirees. Plus, violent protests in Haiti have also resulted in 42 deaths over the last several weeks. However, the scriptures tell Christians, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." Exodus 23, verse 2. The Cook Islands Parliament is reinstating a law that would criminalize homosexuality on the islands. According to the Cook Island News, this comes after pressure from the local churches to work on the nation's crimes bill. Located in the South Pacific Ocean in free association with New Zealand, Cook Islands is a self-governing country comprised of 15 islands. In addition, earlier this year, the Prime Minister of Fiji announced his nation to be a God-fearing nation, and the government would never allow so-called same-sex marriage. And finally, Kevin Swanson, director of Generations and founder of The Worldview in 5 Minutes, reports from the Grand Bahama Island on how American churches can help Bahamian Christian churches in crisis after the devastation caused by Hurricane Dorian.
This is Kevin Swanson from Freeport, Grand Bahama Island in the Bahamas, reporting on the impact of Dorian on the people, the churches, and the nation. Yesterday, Pastor Cranston Knowles and I toured the eastern half of the Grand Bahama Island and the areas that sustained the major impact of the storm. Two small church buildings were completely destroyed, a Methodist church building and a Baptist church building. These were not more than 800 square foot sanctuaries. Large portions of an Anglican church building were also destroyed, but it looked like the sanctuary was intact. There were portions of the island in which every telephone pole was snapped in half, and for miles and miles you would find the electric wires lying on the ground next to the highway. However, the good news is that the worst hit areas were very sparsely populated. About 10% of the homes represented in the churches were totally destroyed by our calculations. We probably saw 20 to 30 tents pitched in front of homes on the eastern end in which people were trying to rebuild their homes or at least prevent robberies. I only saw one team of guys working on a roof in my travels. We toured the hardware store and found very little in terms of drywall and zero roofing materials available on the island. Blue tarps were covering almost every roof, or at least portions of the roofs where families are attempting to mitigate additional water damage. The churches are the distribution centers for food and water on the island and have been for 2 months now. We came upon a small Baptist church in a village halfway to the end of the island in which they conduct a distribution once a day. So far, only one church has been repaired thanks to an American team that came out a week ago from the Fundamentalist Baptist churches. We've spoken with and prayed with 8 to 10 pastors on the island. It's been good. Pastor George Thompson at Community of Heart Tabernacle told me this is a wake-up call to the nation. The Great Commission had been shelved. We have strayed far away from where we were, humble and highly religious, quote-unquote. Pastor Norris Bain also told me that the love of God's people has really come through this tragedy. God is really good all the time. That's what he told me. Right now, the greatest need is getting building materials here to the island. The majority of families do not have insurance, and my estimate is that each church is bearing the impact of about $187,000 in material costs. That includes repairs to the church buildings and the homes affected by the storm, but excludes furnishings. It would take about 300 to 600 local churches in America to partner with 200 churches on the island to help rebuild this island. Let's do good to all men, but especially to the household of God. This is Kevin Swanson reporting from Freeport, Grand Bahama Island, after Dorian.
If you'd like to help one church cover the costs of rebuilding their church and the homes from their members, a cost of $187,000, please consider sending a tax-deductible check to Generations, P.O. Box 1398, Elizabeth, Colorado, 80107. Write Rebuild Bahama Church in the memo, or you can go online to generations.org/give and select Support International Ministry Outreach. Every penny that you give will help to rebuild one church as well as the homes of members of that church. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, November 5th in the year of our Lord, 2019. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. Or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.